Great. Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Community of Grace via Facebook Live. There's two ways that you can listen to us. First of all, you can listen to us on Facebook Live at Cog Family Community, or you can go to our webpage, which is www.icgrace.org, and you can go to our media page off the main page, and there you'll see spot to click on for the messages or the Bible study that we just had, and you can listen to them that way. The Bible study and the message on the website is downloaded later on in the morning, and so it'll be there later today. Also, there are questions that are sent to our church email list, which is our COG list, our COG list, and you can go there and you can read the questions that I'll have at the end of the message. And so those are ways that you can listen to us. Also, I want to thank everybody for their giving and their faithfulness. And also, if you want to, there's a couple of ways that you can give. One is you can go to our webpage and you can, and there's a spot where you can give. Also, you can just mail it to us. But I thank people for their faithfulness in giving. And faithfulness is very important at a time like these. Also, if you want to host us, you can give us a call at 783-8062, and we can come and do the message and the Bible study at your home. All we need is good cellular reception. If you've got good cell reception, then we can do it there. So those are the announcements. Let me pray, and we'll get into the Word here. So, Father, we thank you for our time right now, our time of getting into your Word and what it's saying. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the book of Galatians, which we're going to be mostly focusing on today. Lord, I just thank you that it is such a good book that deals with our behavior. It deals with integrity. And integrity is something that is so important always, but is so important right now. Lord, I just pray that as we talk about things today, Lord, that your word would touch our hearts and our minds. I pray that you would open our minds and hearts to what you want to say and what you want to do through what is said today. Lord, just come have your way with us, and we give you all praise and glory and honor. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are in a time of war. We are in a time of war for our health with COVID-19. We are in a time of war over who will govern us, and we are in a time of war over who is governing us. We're at a time of war over social issues, and we are at war with one another over these things. And in this, it is easy to lose sight of the other battle that we are in with, along with all these other things. And that other thing is a spiritual battle. And the battle for our integrity in the midst of all of this. Now, there are, let me give you two definitions of integrity. One is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles and moral uprightness. The other definition is the state of being whole and undivided. Now, there is another definition that I heard years ago, and it is that integrity is who you are when no one else is watching. It's being real and true, being real and consistent, no matter who you're with or where you are, as well as when you're alone, when no one else is around or can see you. So when we apply this to believers, it is being honest and truthful, where my morals and principles line up with God's word, and I am whole and undivided. I'm not saying one thing and doing another. I'm the same regardless of the situation or who I am around. Even when I'm alone, when no one can see me, I am still the same person because it is who I am and in who I have chosen to be. Now, why am I talking about this today? Well, in this time that we're in, we're all going through a shaking. And I've talked about the shaking before. And that shaking is to loose what does not need to be there. But it is also shaking us to strengthen us in the shaking. And to validate in us that is shaking as well as refining. And it's clearing things away because the season for some things is over. There's some things, the time for them is done. you know, for and so some of these things that are done, it's some of this, there are good things. There are good things that were happening, good things that we were doing, but for some of those things, their time is over. Not because they were bad, it's just there was a season, and there's a season where God does things, and sometimes it's just the season being over. But I feel that God is also bringing a change. I feel that He is bringing a correction to things that have not changed. Now, this is more like a minor adjustment period for some, but for others, it's a larger time of exposing and correcting because of what God wants to do now. It's a new day, okay, and it's a new time. It's a new season that is dawning to where that which was no longer fits in what is coming and taking shape right now, and is being confronted and removed or changed right now. And so I feel that it is a time, I've been feeling this for some time, that God is testing to teach and to show things to some, to develop some things through it. And for some, it's a time of exposing and it's a time of correcting. In order to bring things in line. To show for some that it is a time to change for the reasons that I've just been talking about. Now, because for some, there are things inside of them that have gone unnoticed until now. Maybe even to that person. And for the good of what God is doing and for what God wants to do with those individuals. Because God wants to do things with some individuals, some things have to be revealed. And then those things need to go. Because if they don't, it may limit what God wants to and can do with those individuals. Because if these things in them remain, it can affect the situation where God has or wants to place that person, as well as its impact on the people around them. And so God's testing can show us things about ourselves, as well as teach us and equip us in what He wants to take us through, because the teaching that comes from experience can be so much richer and so much deeper in us than just hearing about something or reading about it. Therefore, when we go into a situation or work with someone from having gone through those things and those times, the impact that we can have because of that experience can be so much greater and so much more meaningful. So I want to look at some passages today, and we're going to be in Galatians today. So beginning with verse 11 of chapter 2 of Galatians, it says, "But when Cephas," and Cephas is Peter, "came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face," this is Paul talking, "because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of some men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles when they came. He began to withdraw and separate himself, fearing those from the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy." So here's what happened here. Either Paul and Barnabas were ministering in the church at Antioch and had apparently invited Peter, or Cephas as he's called here, to come, or Peter had taken it upon himself to hold some services in Antioch. Now, Antioch was a good church. In fact, it was the first great Gentile church, meaning a church that was not comprised of Jews and were believing in Jesus. And they were even sending out missionaries. Missionaries, in this case, meant to send people out to continue to spread the gospel. And so if you've been following our Bible studies in the book of Acts, you know how risky this could be. You know, this letter was written to the churches in Galatia after Paul had brought the gospel of Jesus to them. And after Paul had been there, he received news that the church was falling away from what he had taught them. Because others had come in after him and they were twisting what Paul had taught them, and they were attacking Paul and his authority. So Paul, having to deal with these things as he and others were spreading the gospel and making disciples, was a common theme in the book of Acts. And Paul and others were viciously attacked many times from those opposing them. Those who stirred up who were stirred up by others because of the old ways that many had embraced and they couldn't let go of. or those who came into the new way of Jesus were being influenced by the old way. One of the old ways was that Gentiles had to become Jews first in order to be saved, in addition to coming into relationship with Jesus. And so because of all these things, this was a turbulent time, kind of like our turbulent time now. So now with this Gentile church in Antioch active, Peter is now there and he's ministering with them. I mean, he's right in there among them. He's working with them. He's fellowshipping with them. He's eating with them and sharing with them. And then in come the Judaizers and the religionists. And they had come to visit the church. And as I said, the Judaizers and the religionists clung to the old ways, that in order to be saved, a Gentile had to become a Jew first. And so they took the message of salvation in Jesus and they added the things from their laws to it. So before one could be saved in Jesus, they had to be circumcised. They had to come under the laws of Moses. They had to adhere to the rituals and the ceremonies of the Jews. They had to practice the rituals and regulations of the Jews as well as become Jews, which meant that they had to sever their relationships from their fellow Gentiles. And so these Judaizers and these religionists were shocked to find the Apostle Peter here so freely fellowshipping and eating with the Gentiles there, who had apparently not done all of these things that the Jewish law required. And so they jumped all over Peter. Now, it says here in this passage that I read that they were coming from James, which means that James didn't send the religionists there, nor did he necessarily support their opinions. It was that James was a leader and an overseer in the church in Jerusalem. And although he advocated respect for Jewish law, he didn't use it as a weapon against the Gentiles or oppress them with the burden of it in becoming Christians. It just means that these men came from Jerusalem. But their teaching was false and not supported by James. But Peter crumbles under their attacks and as a result withdrew and pulled away from the Gentiles. And as a result of this, the church split. It became divided because the other Jews followed him in this. And they pulled away from the Gentiles that they were serving and fellowshipping with, even Barnabas. This is the Barnabas who traveled with Saul, or Paul. So under the pressure from the religious leaders, Peter became double-minded. He became inconsistent in who he was. He didn't stand on who he was and what he believed. He fell into pleasing man, and therefore not pleasing God, and therefore it hurt other people. He became a hypocrite. He said and believed one thing, but then he did something else. He followed others over God, and this was becoming a man pleaser, and this is idolatry. And in this, he hurt others and damaged the good work. And he was not being true to who he really was. Like I said with David last week when we talked about David, you know, David lost himself. And he got caught up in that which was not who he really was, and he didn't see it. And just like with David, it would take a strong word to snap him out of that and back into who he really was. And the other Jews followed him. Instead of standing or bringing him to his senses, he fell in with them. But the other thing is that in doing this, they also contradicted their own message. Because to fall under the restrictions of the Judaizers was to make salvation into something that we have to work for to be saved. In other words, you had to become a Jew first. You had to follow all these laws first. You know, and the real message of the law is that we can't follow the law. We can't follow all those laws. You know, the laws basically say this: if you break one, you break all of them. And so it's impossible to keep them. But the real message of the law is that we need a Savior because we can't keep the laws. And that's why we need Jesus. Because we can't save ourselves. Because we're not good enough on our own. And if Peter falling under these men, he fell under something that he didn't really believe in. And he became something he wasn't. And then, just, you know, last week, just like with Nathan and the prophet coming to David, here comes Paul into talking to Peter. It says in verse 14 here of Galatians 2, he says, "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas," in other words, Paul says to Peter, "in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?" So when Paul saw all of this, he confronts Peter in front of all of them. And this became a moment of correction for Peter, and it became a lesson for everyone. Paul basically says this. He says, if you are a Jew, Peter, a Jew who has come to Christ, and you saw that the law can't save you, and that you need more, that you need a Savior, and therefore you need salvation in Jesus by grace, which grace, by the way, is something you can't earn it. It's a gift. And you're coming to grace, you're coming into salvation by Jesus through faith, which is believing. And you're not coming to Jesus in your works or in keeping the law. You know, if you, Peter, being a Jew, live like a Gentile. And the reference here, how Gentile is used here, is if you, a Jew, live like a sinner, which means you're embracing something that doesn't save you, and you're not acting like a Jew, then how can you encourage Jews or Gentiles, or how can you encourage sinners to act like who you claim to be when you're not doing it yourself? In short, what he's saying is, if it's okay to live like a Gentile, then why are you encouraging them to live like Jews? How can you encourage people to follow the truth when you're not doing it yourself? That is being a hypocrite. So Peter in this moment is being shaken. And even though he was an apostle, even though he walked in great power and he walked in great authority, even though God used him mightily, this situation exposed things that were still in there. He still had fear of man. He still had the tendency to please people to the point to where he would turn from what he knew was true. Now, he's exposed. Verse 15. "We're Jews by nature, and not sinners from the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, since by works of the law no flesh will be justified." Jews saw Gentiles as sinners. And Jews saw Gentiles and sinners as the same thing. Regardless of how we see people, our works don't save us. It's Jesus alone who saves us. It's not our works. What saves us is when we put our faith in Jesus, when we believe in Him. And believing in Him and in who He is and what He did in His death and resurrection, and accepting that as truth, and claiming what He did for ourselves, making Him our Lord as well as our Savior, is what makes us okay. In other words, it makes us acceptable to God. It justifies us. It's not our works or trying to follow all the laws. This will never save us because we can't keep them. Only Jesus saves. And so Paul says to Peter, going back to the old way is not going to save you, Peter. Why are you going back there? And the old way is not going to help the Gentiles either. And we also today need to remember the lies that we have come out of. The things that we saw, that we see now, that weren't true. And we need to remember the truth that we have now in Christ that we stand on and that we should be standing on. And when we do a Peter, okay, when we do what Peter did, and we take a step backwards, it doesn't help us. Nor does it help those around us. It doesn't help those we serve with, and it doesn't help those that we're trying to impact. Verse 17 says this, "If while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Far from it." So Paul then asks this question. You know, is Jesus misleading us or making us a sinner by trusting in Him, that by putting our faith in Him will make us okay and acceptable to God and save us? Of course not. Of course He's not going to mislead us. He goes on to say in verse 18, If I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a wrongdoer. In other words, if I go back to trying to be good enough to God to try to keep all those laws that I can't, instead of putting my faith and trust and life in Jesus and His saving work on the cross, the law will show itself that I need a Savior. In other words, if I can't keep all those laws, then it shows that I need something else. That was the whole point of it. It shows that I need a Savior. And so even trying to keep the law and being frustrated, it's going to take me back to the truth that I can't keep the law and I need something else. Verse 19, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. Again, the law shows that we can't save ourselves through our own efforts. You know, to try to keep those laws because I can't. So I stop trying and I come to Jesus instead. These times that we're in expose us in that they show us what is inside of us and what in some cases may already have been there. Sometimes it brings to the surface the good things that God has deposited in us and has been developing in us. But times like these can also bring out the things that God has been trying to rid us of. And there can be a tendency in hard times like this for people to fall back into what was. That is really not who they really are. But that thing that they fall back into may have been hidden. Maybe they didn't even know it was there. And this is bringing it out. We did address things and deal with things and we did try to get rid of them before, but maybe we didn't get everything. And what's surfacing now is just a remainder from some work that we already did. Or something that I put down, I have picked it back up and I've put it back on myself or I've taken it back into myself. And in that moment, we are faced with a choice. When we see this, is am I going to recognize it? Am I going to admit it? Am I going to address it? And am I going to be free? And am I going to grow in who I am? Or am I going to not see? Or am I going to choose not to see and continue on in who I really am not? Verse 20 of Galatians 2 says this. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. When I believe and accept what Jesus did for me and make Him Lord and Savior is to be crucified with Christ. That's what that means. Just like when Jesus died for us, we die to our old ways. We receive Him and what He did, and I now live by faith in Him, believing in who He is and what He did for me. You know, He is now not just only my Savior, but I've also made Him the Lord and the boss of my life as well. Verse 21 says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. For us to go back to the old way of trying to save ourselves through keeping the laws, to reject the grace of God, it makes all that Jesus did useless to the one who rejects it. Paul then would go on from verse 21, goes into Galatians chapter 3. And in chapter 3, he continues to address the false teaching that was going on in their midst and continuing to talk about faith in Jesus versus trying to keep the law. And if we keep following it, we get to chapter 5. And in chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says this. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. He goes on in verse 7 and 9 to say, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from Him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. Two of the definitions for leaven are this. One is a substance, typically yeast, that is used in dough to make it rise. One of the other definitions is this: a pervasive influence that modifies something or transforms it from the better. Leaven can be good, and leaven could be bad depending on the type of influence it is and the effect on what it's transforming. But it only takes a little. But it works in a way to where it works its way into the whole of what it has come into. We, the people of God, have been injected with leaven. We have been injected with the leaven of politics. We have been injected with the leaven of agendas. We have been injected with the leaven of social issues. We have been injected with fear. We have been injected with anger. And we have been injected with mistrust. And it is changing how people see one another. It is changing how relationships... It is changing relationships. Relationships have been torn asunder. Now, we expect this from the world, right? But this is also happening amongst God's people. Now, the reality is, leaven will always be there. And it has been there long before the turmoil of this year. I mean, we're reading about it in Scripture right here that was written thousands of years ago. But we need to remember things like verses 13 through 15 of Galatians 5, which says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." If we were to continue to read the rest of the chapter, we would read Paul's listing of the deeds of the flesh. Among these are hostilities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, and dissension. Now, there's more to the list than these things, but these things are the things I wanted to focus on right now. These are the ones that I sadly see so often in believers over these last several months, but really they were going on before that. God is using this time to shake off the old. To shake off the influences that we have come under, but also to shake off the good that has seen its day, and it's time to move on because it's a new season. Because some people are hanging on to the past and they won't let go of it. And even though it was good in the past, if its time is over, it's a hindrance in the present. And he's using this time to refine what he has deposited into us. And Paul also mentions in the final sentences of Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit. He says these in verses 22 and 23. He says, "Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." God is using this time to expose and correct the old that is in us for the purpose of Jesus' lordship and living in us growing and firming us up so that the fruit of verses 22 and 23 will blossom and flourish in us. And in a time and flourish in a time like these. We can get so caught up in COVID-19 and politics and the social issues and the things that are closing and the things that are opening and the panic that is being stirred up by the media. And it can be so easy to lose sight of what it is really all about. And what it's really all about is what I read in Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 21, about our faith in the Lord, in Jesus and His death and His resurrection, and that we are saved through what He did and our faith in Him and not in works. And that because of all of that, we are justified in the sight of God. And we need to carry that message of love and hope and salvation to a world that needs it. That's what we need to keep our focus on. Amen. We need to carry it. We need to live it. And we can't do that if we're too caught up in the things of this world. And when we get too caught up in these things, we lose sight of our integrity. Our integrity as believers and integrity in our relationships with one another as the family of God. You know, like Peter and Barnabas, we become divided between one another and God and with others and even within ourselves. And when we let these other things in, it changes us. And therefore, it changes how we respond. You know, going back to the definition of integrity, you know, I said it's the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles and moral uprightness. And then the other definition that I read was the state of being whole and undivided. The integrity of something is the quality of it. It's the character of or the state of something. And Peter was an apostle. Peter was an apostle. And what infected his state of being was fear. Fear led him to pleasing man. And his pleasing man meant hurting others. Leaven affects the integrity of material. It infects the integrity of something. Again, it could be good or bad depending on the agent or the type of leaven. For us as well as Peter the apostle, it was the leaven of fear. But Paul interjects the leaven of faith and love and the works of Jesus. So Paul encourages them in verse 16, back in Galatians 2. He says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." When we let in the leaven of fear and anger and judgment and unforgiveness, we will carry out what they breed. Paul says in verses 24 through 26 of Galatians 5, he says, "Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit as well. Let's not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." We have to bring COVID-19 to the cross. And so the question is, have we done that? Have we brought our politics to the cross? Have we brought our social issues to the cross? Have we brought the local events, the openings, the closing, who does what and how does what? Have we brought these things to the cross? If we have fear, if we have anger, if we have unforgiveness, and the leaven of these things bleed into your love, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness, your goodness, your gentleness, your faithfulness, your self-control, and has led to you challenging your fellow believers, and the love in you toward them has grown cold to your fellow believers, and with it also has grown cold your patience, your kindness, your gentleness, your self-control, if that is faded, then I think it's time to go back to the cross. And I think it's time to re-examine the things that we carry in our passions and our desires. And our passions and our desires and the things that we carry, they lead to what we do. And what we do leads to our expressions of what we think and we feel. They reveal what is in us. And that's why self-examining is so important, because it is so easy to go off course, especially in the times we're in right now. In an instant of confrontation, Peter falls into fear and acts out of it. I mean, it can happen. It happened to an apostle. And it can happen to us. The question is what is going on in you? What do you need to take to the cross? Let's never lose sight of what it's all really about. It's about salvation in Jesus through faith. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for what you, Lord Jesus, did on the cross. I thank you for dying for us. I thank you for suffering horribly for us, for taking on our sin and paying the price for it with your own body, with your own shed blood. And that shed blood cleansed us of all unrighteousness. And then you rose 3 days later, having victory not over death and hell, but giving us hope. And because of what you did, we can now have a new life in you, where we are cleansed. And we have not only a new life in this world, but we will live forever with you. We will reign with you. All because of what you did. That's what it's really all about. And it's about reaching our world with that same message. This is what it's really all about. Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to see clearly that that's really what it's about. And all these other things, as important as they may be to us, they pale in comparison. Because when this world is over and everything is said and done, you, Lord, will still remain. And those of us who come into a relationship with you will still remain. But everything else will be gone. These things that we make into life and death, they're not going to last, but you will. And irregardless of how things go, you're working and moving and victorious in the midst of all these things now. Lord, I just thank you for this. Help us. Help us, Lord, to keep that at the forefront of our minds as we go out into our day and as we encounter people and as we hear things and see things, that it's really all about you. And I just pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So I put some questions on our church email list, our COG list. So let me read these to you. You can pull them up there and look at them, but let me just read them to you right now. So the first question is, have you ever turned from that which you knew was true? And what caused you to do that? You know, I'll just say this. When I wrote this question, there was a situation that came to my mind that happened when I was a teenager. You know, teenagers are so much about wanting to please their peers. And I had made friends with someone, and the other people that I was trying to impress didn't like him. And so they talked me into turning on him. He hadn't done anything, but they didn't like him. And so they were like, if you want to be in with us, then you need to do this to him. And so I publicly confronted him and embarrassed him. And I hated myself for doing that later. And what caused me to do that, because that's really not who I am. I wasn't like that back then. But because of wanting to please other people, I became something I wasn't. And what caused me to do it was trying to please my peers. I did go back and try to make it right with that person, but the relationship was never the same because trust had been violated. Second question, what would cause you to do that again now? And how does that line up against Galatians chapters 2 and 5? Third question, how would you label the relationships that you and other members of the church family have? How would you label them? Your relationships with them, how would you label them? And lastly, in this time that we're in right now, what do you need to take to the cross? So God bless you, and we will see you here again next week.